Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Tuesday, May 13th, 2008, Carrboro Board of Aldermen work session on the town budget. Before we begin, let me say, first of all, Alderman Joel Hall Brown will be here in a little bit. She's running late with some professional obligations. She will be here shortly. And then second of all, I have, before we begin our regularly printed agenda, I'd like to read a proclamation. I'd like to invite Lori Palicelli from the Chapel Hill Orange County Visitors Bureau to come join me at the podium. Up.
I don't know how many of y'all, I know everybody on the board probably does, but I don't know how many of y'all in the audience know Lori Palicelli, but she is the executive director of the Visitors Bureau. She's been in that position for, about 4 years now?
Three years
now, and is doing a really dynamic and fantastic job of promoting our community. I'd like to recognize her work and also to proclaim this week National Tourism Week. So I'll read this briefly. Whereas the travel and tourism industry in Carrboro and Orange County is vital to our economic stability and growth, and it contributes substantially to our cultural and social well-being, and whereas travel benefits every citizen by substantially enhancing our personal growth and education while promoting intercultural understanding and appreciation of Carrboro and Orange County's history, geography, and culture, and whereas tourism is a growth industry in Orange County, generating $137.6 million in expenditures in 2006 alone, an increase of 8.2% over the previous year's figures, ranking the county 24th in travel impact among North Carolina's 100 counties, according to the Travel Industry Association of America. And whereas state and local tax revenues from travel to Orange County amounted to $10.56 million in 2006. Sorry, we don't have 2007 numbers for y'all. Representing an $85 tax savings to each and every county resident. And whereas more than 1,710 jobs in Orange County were directly attributable to travel and tourism in 2006, and whereas travel generated a $27.62 million payroll in 2006, and whereas our area attractions, welcome centers, and tours hosted more than 1.68 million visitors in 2007, now, therefore, be it resolved that I, Mark Chilton, the mayor of the town of Carrboro, North Carolina, do recognize the efforts of the Chapel Hill Orange County Visitors Bureau and do hereby proclaim this week, May 10th through 18th, 2008, as National Tourism Week in the town of Carrboro with the theme, Discover Great American Traditions. Let's discover and appreciate Carrboro's great tourism traditions, which illustrate the importance of tourism to our community. This is the sixth day of May.
Yes, and I just want to say thank you so much. We very much enjoy promoting Orange County to the tune of $137 million last year left by visitors. One unique point that I will share with you is that 3 years ago we conducted a research study to see what brought people here and what they loved about the area. And one thing we discovered is that the names Chapel Hill, Carrboro, and Hillsboro are much more nationally recognizable than the name Orange County. So about 2 years ago, our tourism marketing efforts took a little bit of a turn, and what you see before you tonight is a byproduct of that. We are very much promoting Carrboro through unique books, coloring books, hats, caps, postcards. Our visitors love Carrboro. They love the restaurants. They love what they call the loafability, that Carrboro has great loafability. A safe, clean, fun area to watch people, to have a beverage, something to eat, and always positive impact. And all of that definitely contributes to economic development in our county. And I just thank you very much for letting me be a part of it. Yes.
Lori, thank you for all you do and for all you do on the behalf of Carrboro. And thank you for saving me an email. I'm the board liaison to the Carrboro Arts Commission.
Uh-huh.
And at last night's meeting, they asked if we could please invite you to come to an Arts Commission meeting to kind of talk about how your group can help the Arts Commission deal with some of the arts promotion issues that it wants to put forth. And so I thought that would be great. We have The chair of that is Zach Ward, who's, you know Zach.
Yes.
So we'd love to have you there. Our staff person was sick and not able to be there, but I believe Anita could get you in touch with her, and we'd love to have you come if you could.
Absolutely. Thank you. I would love to. I'm working very closely with Secretary Fain right now, and his edict to all of us in tourism is to merge efforts more with the arts. So it's very timely, and I would enjoy that. Thank you.
Save me an email.
Okay.
And Marie, I want to thank you. The visitor's guide that we received recently was fantastic.
Oh, thank you.
I actually left it out on a coffee table, and I had visitors recently who picked it up and said, oh, my God, I had no idea. Uh-huh. So it was just fabulously redone, and just, I think the way we look at it in Carrboro is it's not the loafability so much as it's the schmooze factor.
Yeah.
And we definitely picked up on that.
Thank you so much. And please be our billboards or our Dan boards and Jacqueline boards and wear your hats. And we are very generous with the hats. And if anybody needs them for promotions, please feel free to call us, because the more people wear them and see Carrboro, the better we all are for it. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks again.
Thanks, Lori. All right. Well, with that, we don't have any other special announcements, but I'll just point out that I want to say thank you to everybody who came out to vote in the various primary elections that happened this past week. It was an incredible turnout. We had as many or more people turn out this past week, as more people, I think, voted in Orange County this past week than voted in the general election in 1994 and even in 1998. That was a record that will not be, not soon be surpassed. And considering the result, I've got to say Harambe. And I also want to give a special thanks to all the volunteers and the visitors to our town who came out for Carrboro Day on Saturday. It was absolutely perfect weather. I didn't hear one complaint about anything that happened. It was absolutely a really fantastic event, and I think everybody enjoyed it.
Can I do one more call out? I want to do a call out to Chief Crabtree and the fire folk. For their swift and efficient effort for David and Adele Roth on Pathway Drive. I know they were very much appreciative. So were we all. And for folks who don't know, it was their home that was struck by lightning in that freak hail storm on Friday night. So thank you. Carolyn and the force.
Yeah, and that wasn't the only emergency to be responded to,
exactly.
So I think both our police and fire departments were on the scene on many different scenes that night. Thank you, both departments. With that, we'll turn to the presentation of the manager's recommended budget for fiscal year 2008-2009. Mr. Steve Stewart.
Okay. Well, I'm glad Laurie had some good financial news to share with you, because that's probably the last good bit of news you're going to hear from a financial standpoint for the next few minutes anyway. I want to recognize all of our department heads, with the exception of George Size, who has an excused absence tonight, in the audience to assist with any budget discussions tonight, and I want to thank them for being here and for being a big part of the production of this year's budget. If it's good, they get credit for it. If it's bad, I'll take the responsibility for it. This will be my 31st budget presentation, including a couple of two-year budgets. So I have done this quite a few times, and I'll have to say I don't recall, at least in recent history, a more dim outlook in terms of revenue projections than what we're going to be talking about tonight. And I think those of you who have worked with me for a while know that I try to shoot straight and tell you how things are. And I might tell you how I wish they were, but I'm going to tell you how they are and what we see over the next year or two. Not the best picture we've seen. No surprise to anybody that our economy is pretty sluggish right now, not only nationwide, statewide, but here in Orange County as well, and for us, especially in our top two revenue sources. First is our property tax, and if we kept the tax rate at its current rate, then we estimated about a 2% growth in the tax base for next year, or about $189,000. That's a lot of money to me, probably a lot of money to you, but in a nearly $19 million budget, that's not much of an increased revenue to work with. So it presents some challenges. Our second largest revenue is the sales tax revenue, and the story there is even a little worse than the property tax base. We anticipate about a 1.1% increase in the sales tax revenue, and that's only because the 3 1/2 cent sales taxes, which are statewide taxes shared throughout the state, are anticipating an increase. If we look at the 1 cent local option sales tax, which is based on sales derived here in Orange County, we're actually anticipating a decline over the current year revenues. And I think that speaks more to people in Orange County seeking shopping opportunities in surrounding counties than it does to actually a decline in expenditures. To continue on this theme, our fees and permits for next year are estimated also to decline based on a fairly limited amount of growth and a decrease in permitting activities. And just to put this in perspective, I asked Roy to project for us the number of certificates of occupancy for residential houses that, for this current fiscal year. And the estimate is that we'll issue 50 COs by the end of June 30th. The last time that number was that low was 1981. So this is obviously a different kind of year. We're looking at a couple things on the revenue side, and then I'll talk more on the expenditure side. But the board may recall a couple years ago the General Assembly authorized the town to increase its motor vehicle license tax by $10 from $20 up to $30. That's one of the things that we're recommending to offset some of the increased expenses that we'll talk about in a few minutes. That'll generate about $86,000 for us. The next thing I'm going to talk about is something that, again, those of you who know me know that it is a very difficult thing for me to say because in my career, I've had to recommend a property tax increase very few times. Two of the last four budgets that I presented to you all have been done so without a tax increase recommendation. Last year, I was able to give you two options, one which included a no tax increase option. This year, in good conscience, I can't give you that kind of an option and continue to provide the level of services that I think our community has come to expect. So I am recommending a tax increase of 3.23 cents, which would bring our rate to 68.6 cents. That's about a 4.9% increase over the current tax rate. And if you've looked at the newspaper and other media in the last couple of weeks, you'll know that we're not in this boat alone. Both Chapel Hill and Hillsborough managers have recommended tax increases ranging from 5 cents to 5.9 cents. I believe that when Orange County unveils its budget in the next several weeks, my guess is the proposed tax increase for Orange County will be substantially higher than any of the municipalities are recommending. So we're all kind of in this together. Overall, our revenue growth without a tax rate increase is well below last year's inflationary rate of 4.1%. In fact, if you back out the use of fund balance and the use of financing, then the real increase in projected revenues for next year, absent tax increase and absent the vehicle fee increase, is a fairly paltry 1.8% or less than $300,000 in new revenue. Not a lot to work with, and I think you'll see when you look at some of the expenses that it really is a very small amount of money to try to work with. Moving to the expenditure side, let me mention that with the limited revenue that we're looking at for next year, I think it's really important that we focus very carefully on what we're currently doing, the commitments that we now have, taking care of our infrastructure, taking care of commitments that the board has already made, and really focusing on public safety for the community. And if you look at this pie chart, I think it's very evident that this budget very heavily focuses on public safety, because almost a third of the budget is proposed to go towards public safety. Looking at the total budget, the recommended budget for next year is a little over $18.4 million. And if you look at the bottom line again, you'll see that the decrease is about 5.9%, and you're probably thinking, well, if we're talking about a smaller budget next year and you just mentioned the need to increase revenues, what's that all about? Well, if you look at that line above that, the capital outlay line, it shows a reduction of about 75%. In our capital outlay budget for vehicle and equipment replacement for this coming fiscal year, we had already anticipated a decline from the current year based on replacement needs for next year. However, given the budget concerns that we had, we also went back, took a close look at our vehicle replacement policy, and have made some adjustments in it to provide additional flexibility, which Clayton Hearn, our fleet manager, is here to speak on that in a little more detail during the work session. But that allowed us to stretch the life of some of our vehicles and equipment without putting ourselves in a situation that would create problems for our employees into getting their work done. But that was a 75% decline. If you look at the other two major categories, personnel and operations, you'll see small increases. And if you put those two together, it's an increase between personnel and operations of about 4.8%. The large decline in capital, and that's how we've come up with a 5.9% overall decrease. But the decrease really is a result of the financing funds that are brought into the budget. So the need and the demand for local dollars is more than it is for the current year. Just to show you, I think, how lean this budget is, normally you'll see a much longer list of expansion items in the proposed budget. This year we're looking at three items, two of which are very small in comparison to the total budget, and even the third is not a huge amount of money. Let me mention the first one, and that is, you all know, a couple of years ago we started a pilot project at the Century Center by replacing one of our urinals there with a waterless urinal. We're proposing next year to replace six more of those urinals with waterless urinals, trying to show our commitment both to employees and to the community of water conservation, and we expect a payback on that investment of $4,800 in about 6 years. The second expansion item is from the Orange Community Housing Land Trust. Robert Dowling actually came before the board twice, first with the $4,000 increase, and then came back after his board had met and asked for an additional $4,000 for a total increase of $8,000, primarily to fund additional staff and additional salary increases. After a lot of discussion at staff level, the recommendation to the board is that the original request be approved with the idea that the things that we were having to do with the town in terms of our personnel cost and what we're doing to try to hold down our costs, that we felt like going with the original request was the appropriate recommendation to make. And then the final one, you'll recall again, I mentioned the focus on public safety. We are proposing the addition of two police officers that would start effective January of 2009. One would be in community services, one in investigations. We could have easily supported additional officers coming into the department in terms of need, but not in terms of being able to fund them. So in speaking with the chief, it was her recommendation that if she were able to receive the two officers, these two areas are the places where we felt like, excuse me, we could get the biggest bang for the buck. And those two officers and the associated IT equipment amount to about $77,000. So the expansion budget for next year in total is a little over $86,000, which is a relatively small amount compared to some years past. In addition, we certainly are continuing to honor the commitments that the board has made in the past, and again, with the focus on public safety and maintaining our infrastructure. The first line you'll see, the roughly $172,000 in additional dollars needed, that is to continue a reduced program of vehicle and equipment replacement, Wilson Park playground equipment replacement, which is existing equipment, and prior year financing costs, which this coming year will include both principal and interest cost. Then you all know we're continuing with the sidewalk and greenway program to continue with the bond anticipation notes prior to actually issuing the general obligation bonds will require an additional roughly $138,000. And then, as the board knows, you approved adding three new firefighters this spring as a result of a very substantial grant that we received for the good efforts of the fire department, and this will help us as we move forward towards opening a second fire station. The town's share of the cost of the grant for next year will be about $49,000. Excuse me. Then finally, two pieces of software that the board authorized purchasing this year, one for providing online registration for recreation and parks, and the others for a work order system for public works. There are associated software maintenance costs with that to the tune of about $5,000 for the two programs. So the total cost of the continuation of these capital items and public safety items amounts to just slightly under $365,000. If there's a piece of good financial news that I can share with the board and the community tonight, it is that we've made a concerted effort over the last few years to build up our savings account or fund balance. We've done that by spending less than the entire budget each year, and we've also been able to receive more revenues than originally anticipated. Excuse me. That's allowed us to build up our fund balance to a very adequate level. And what we're proposing is we'll be bringing a budget amendment to the board next month asking to set aside these capital projects to be funded with a one-time fund balance revenues. The big project is the Weaver Street reconstruction project. You recall the Public Works Director gave a presentation a couple months ago on this project. It's been one that's been around for many, many years, and it hasn't gotten any cheaper. This would allow us to set aside $260,000 this spring. Then in fiscal year 2009-10, we'd come back and ask for an additional $260,000. During the interim, we'd continue with the planning process for that, and hopefully in 2009-10, we could actually start doing some work on the street. The other two projects are fairly small in nature, but again, maintaining what we currently have. Fence renovation at the dog park at Anderson Park. And the other item is resurfacing the tennis courts at Wilson Park. We've made investments in these projects. We need to take care of them. If you've been to the Wilson Park tennis courts, you'll see deep cracks there, not safe, not a good place to play tennis. And we already have a big investment, so we, again, need to maintain that investment. By being able to have the savings account in place, that allows us to pay these one-time projects with one-time dollars and avoid the equivalent of an additional 1.9 cents on the tax rate that we would otherwise have had to look for the budget in fiscal year 2008-09. Now to employees, and you know, employee costs make up the biggest part of our budget because we don't make things, we do things, and it takes people to do that. Our employees really are our most valuable asset. And in recognition of that, the board several years ago approved a new pay-for-performance program that has been in place and I think has generally been very well received by employees. At the time it was implemented, we said there might be years where there had to be adjustments based on budgetary restraints. This is one of those years. For the past several years, the pay-for-performance system has allowed employees to receive salary increases based on performance and where they are in the pay ranges, anywhere from 3% to 5.5%. The proposal for next year, in recognition of the fact that not only is this a challenging time for our employees, but it's a challenging time for the community, we're recommending that both the minimum and the maximum in pay for performance be reduced by 1%, so that that new range for the coming year would be 2% to 4.5%. We feel like that's comparable to probably what's going to be happening in the area with the communities that we compete against. The other thing is, if there is good news about an increase that's in health insurance, you all know the last several years we've had double-digit increases. We're projecting about an 8% increase for next year, and that's due, I think, primarily to two things. One is we've had much better claims experience this past year. The town's been involved in a number of wellness initiatives. Our employees have responded very well to those initiatives, so we've had fewer claims, and our premium costs are based primarily on our own claims experience. The second thing is this board, at the recommendation of staff last year, made some tweaks on what we do for retirees with health insurance that sent a good message to the insurance company that the town wanted to provide good benefits but was also serious about trying to do things to maintain control of cost. And so I think those two things combined allowed us to meet what I wish it were a 0% increase, but again, based on the last few years, 8% looks pretty good. And we'll continue to look for ways to try to tweak what we're doing to continue to provide good coverage for our employees, but try to hold down cost as much as possible. Another thing that we're proposing for next year is a town-wide pain classification study. The last study was done in 1999. Typically, these studies are recommended to be done every 5 to 7 years, so we're a little behind that schedule. We want to make sure that our employees are properly classified, that we have both internal and external equity, and that the jobs our employees are doing are reflected with the class specs that we have prepared for those various jobs. The second part of the study would look at the organization of the fire department structures. You all know we've been adding firefighters, getting ready for opening the new fire station on Homestead Road. We think it's an opportune time to have somebody from the outside come in and take a look at how we're proposing to structure the new station with all these new employees and making sure that we're being as effective and as efficient as we possibly can with the new firefighters. Some other budget highlights. We continue to invest for a small town a very significant amount of money in fare free transit. The budget this year is something over $1 million for the transit system. We've not been able to find another small jurisdiction in North Carolina that puts more than a few thousand dollars into public transit, so I think this says a lot about both the board and the community's commitment to transit. This budget also includes the first of five payments for the town's share of repaying the solid waste fund for the Green Tract. Both Chapel Hill and Orange County will have their appropriate amounts in their recommended budgets to their respective boards. If you've been by the gas pump in the last few months and weeks, you know what it's done to your own situation with gas. Same thing has happened to the town. We've proposed an increase of about $55,000 in next year's budget. We also were including a $20,000 fuel contingency, which we've had in the budget for the last couple of years. Just last week, Clayton Hearn submitted information to me from the Department of Energy. Based on their latest projections, that $55,000 really ought to be increased by another $28,000 just to try to keep pace with what they're projecting right now. I'm not suggesting we do that for now. I'm hopeful that between the fuel contingency that we have in place and that and trying to do some more conservation efforts, that will be okay. But if that estimate gets ticked up again, I'm probably going to have to be back and say we need to look at doing something on the fuel side. We'll do everything we can on the conservation side, but I know that you all in the community expects us to respond to fire calls, to respond to medical calls, to respond to calls for the police department to pick up the garbage, to do our inspections of new homes and those kinds of things. And we're trying to be more responsive and continue to look for alternative fuel vehicles, for hybrids, and other ways to get our employees around. But we are going to see a significant increase in fuel cost in the coming year. Also, because we continue to be more involved in new technology, all of those software packages that we get have maintenance contracts associated, so there's an increase there. Our property and workers' compensation insurance will be going up by about $25,000. Our auditing requirements are becoming more stringent. You all heard from LaVon Montague with Dixon Hughes earlier this year about the new requirements for audits. They're going to be much more detailed, look much more closely at internal control, and do almost like mini audits of some of our departments. That's going to put a lot more pressure on town staff, management services, and other departments, but it's also going to mean more hours from the auditing firm, and more hours equals more dollars. We anticipate about a $14,000 increase in the audit contract, up from about a $40,000 expenditure in the current year. You all may also recall last year the General Assembly approved a $2 per ton landfill tax, an unfunded state mandate to help clean up landfills around the state. Unlikely any of this money would ever find its way back to Orange County, but that's about $7,700 that we'll be paying to the state for into that landfill account. The revolving loan fund, we're proposing taking $10,000 from the loan fund to do two things. One is to support the launching of the Local Living Economy Task Force, which you all are scheduled to, I think, make appointments on later this month. The second thing is to provide $5,000 to continue the good training that we did for small business people this year. It was very well received by folks in the community. We'd like to expand that, get more people involved, and try to grow as many of our small local businesses as we possibly can. Again, on the expenditure side, we always look for ways that we can save money in how we do business and do things differently, try to bring in grant money and so forth. One of the things that being RENIG assistant manager does early in the budget process, before we look at revenues, is looks at the expenditure side and pulls out all of the one-time expenditures, whether it's a vehicle that was purchased this year that won't need to be purchased next year, or it's a study that was done this year that won't need to be done next year. All of those things are taken out of the base budget so that we don't artificially inflate the base that we start with. And that exercise pulled out about $640,000 of one-time expenditures. Second thing that we've done is taking all of our copiers that were on multiple contracts, multiple renewal periods, put them under one contract. It's not a huge amount of money, but it all amounts up, not quite $6,600 in savings. This year, the rec department rebid its brochure, saving about $3,000. Also, the rec department has changed the process it uses to turn ball field lights on and off. We anticipate a savings about $5,000 in utility cost. We changed the kind of vehicles for the police department. We are experiencing about a $3,500 savings per vehicle by going to a different kind of vehicle. I mentioned earlier the change in the vehicle and equipment replacement policy. Due to the tweaking of that policy, we anticipate saving about $77,000 in debt service that we would have spent had we followed the current vehicle and equipment replacement policy. And it allows us, if the vehicle or piece of equipment is operating properly, we now have better maintenance records than we've ever had before. It allows us to make informed decisions about, hey, we can hold on to that vehicle, we can hold on to that piece of equipment a year longer than perhaps we could have in the past. I mentioned the fire department grant, and again, thanks to the good work of folks in the fire department, that grant next year will be worth over $90,000 to the town. And along with a match, this would have been close to a penny on the tax rate, and we'll continue to look for those kind of opportunities. In fact, there's another round of this same grant coming up, and I haven't had a chance to even get back to the chief yet, but we certainly want to go for that. We might not be able to get it 2 years in a row, but if we don't ask, they're certainly not going to give it to us. So the worst thing they can say is no. Also, as you all know, the Carbar Parks project came before you all and got approval to start a fundraising project to do the disc golf course. They're anticipating raising $10,000 for that project. There should be no out-of-pocket money from the town, and we've seen several good projects that they've done in the past, and it's been a great partnership between the Carborough Parks Project and the town of Carborough. You all approved just recently a budget amendment that allows the police department to spend about $38,000 in seized funds to buy new fingerprint equipment. That would have been money that we would have had to come up with local dollars out of local taxpayers' pockets that we're not having to do. A little over $13,000 again in seized funds to purchase recording equipment that the state now mandates we have when interviewing homicide suspects. And then another $5,800 in grant funds for the police department to assist with prevention, education, and enforcement of underage drinking, and I think we'll be working closely with the town of Chapel Hill on this project. Looking at a couple of innovation things, this is not necessarily saving us a lot of money, but the software technology that we were able to purchase from PEG access funds that folks who subscribe to the cable channels pay each month, it has the capability for us to run the bulletin board. I hope you all have had a chance to look at that. We have five or six slides on there, things like how to sign up for Code Red, things about the drought, things about advisory board openings, things about openings with employment with the town of Carborough. And I'm sure as time goes along, we'll find other uses for that space, keeping in mind we've got one person who does that along with many, many other things. Also, Drew Cummings in my office, who keeps up the bulletin board on Channel 18, also has developed a really good database of email addresses for neighborhood associations, and we've been able to broadcast a lot of good information to neighborhood associations, particularly this spring and the drought. We work closely with OWASA to send out lots of information to our neighborhoods, and other than a little bit of time for Drew to send out a mass email, and we've been able to communicate with lots of folks quickly and very inexpensively. And then something that Bing is going to come up in just a few minutes and talk more about with you, but the budget document that you have in front of you tonight is revised fairly significantly from past years. Bing led the project with our departments to really focus this year on work plans, results, and outcomes of how we're spending the money, not so much on specific line items within the budget. And so I hope that you'll see that the document is more user-friendly, more transparent, and easier to understand. And I won't try to steal any of Bing's thunder because she's going to come up in a few minutes and walk you through a couple of things that are of special interest, at least to us. The other thing Bing's going to do, I'll mention, is she's going to talk a little bit about an example of the proposed tax rate increase on someone who qualifies for a homestead exemption to kind of give you an idea about what that impact would be. I thought it might be important. We really want tonight to focus on this coming year, but we don't want to lose sight on the years to follow. And so, you know, I guess just kind of another dose of reality. If you look out to fiscal year 9-10, that's the year where we anticipate basically the full brunt of the new fire substation coming online here, and then the operating budget impact, which is the real impact. Again, another payment towards the Weaver Street pay-as-you-go allocation. And what I'd call your attention to is this number here. These few projects here have a tax rate implication of about 6 cents, which I would just remind you doesn't include any other increases in potential operating expenses or personnel costs that we would be looking at. I'm not putting that up there to tell you that that's going to definitely equate to a 6 cent tax increase, but I'm just telling you that this year is not a one-time concern. I think we've got in the out years we have some issues, some commitments that the town has made that we need to follow through on, and without a substantial turnaround in the economy or change in our tax base, it's going to continue to put pressure on our property tax rate. And that leads me to the final slide, the inflationary pressures that we're under now and our ability to really do more than what we've been doing, and that's to provide, I think, a very high level of basic services is really hampered by the limits on the kinds of ways we can raise revenues. And I've already shared with you probably ad nauseum about how weak right now our increases are in property taxes and sales tax. I think this is a very lean budget. It's one, again, I wish I could have brought to you without a proposed tax rate increase, but I feel confident that what we proposed is what I feel is what we need to operate and provide the level of services the community expects for the coming year. With that, be happy to answer any questions, and then we're prepared to go into a work session with a couple of items we'd suggest and then anything else that you all would like to talk about.
I have one quick clarification. Steve, on page 19, if you go back to the operating increases and you have fuel, page 19 still reflects 57 instead of 55,000. Is this supposed to be?
57 is probably the right number.
Okay.
Dan.
Yeah, I don't have a question, but I want to take a minute, Steve, to commend you on this budget. I know you don't feel great about recommending an increase, but I think anyone who's read the papers knows what Chapel Hill and Orange County are looking at, and by comparison, we're doing pretty well this year. And I think there's a lot of creativity and thoughtfulness on the part of all the managers who are here and other staff who've been involved reflected in the presentation you just gave, and I appreciate that. And I wanted to highlight one item for whoever's watching, which I think is important, which is that 8% health insurance increase, which, you know, in an ideal world, that ought to be too high. In fact, we ought to not have an health insurance cost because it ought to be nationalized. But given the national situation, you know, we're in a position where most municipalities are still looking at double-digit increases, and ours is down to 8% because of the forward thinking over the last few years that you and Bing and Desiree have done. And I think that's just one example of how what's been the success in this budget reflects years of careful work, and I think it's serving Carborough very well. So I just wanted to thank you and staff for that.
Well, thank you very much. Any other questions for me?
Not yet.
Okay. Are you all ready to move to the
please
next step?
Document providing is a little bit of it like a weight loss program. There's a before and an after. Before, we had 132 pages front and back, and we now have 96 pages front and back, 36 fewer pages, or a 27% decrease. And the added benefit is I think it feels better and it looks better, and hopefully you'll have the same experience. please. Get this.
Just like Valerie Burnett.
We can
Jenny
talk.
Gray.
Okay, there we go. What you should see, and this is an example from page 88 in the budget document, happened to be the fire department. And oddly enough, speaking about my neighbors across the street that were in the fire, my husband made the first 911 call. So it was just a surreal experience to watch the professionalism of the fire department fight the fire. It was just amazing. So in any case, a lot of the things you have seen before, such as the purpose and the services provided and the goals. I will say the department, in revamping the document, rethought some of their goals and their purpose, so you will see some different narratives than in past years. What's new here is upcoming fiscal year objectives, and it's very specific about what they plan to do next year. And also, this document gives departments an opportunity to let residents know what they did last year as a reminder, and I think they should be really proud of their previous year accomplishments. And also, you should be able to see, open up to two pages, and this is the other half. And what you see here that is new, we changed how the position chart looks. You just look at full and part-time position. There is more detail elsewhere in the document. But really, what the big difference here is looking at not line item budget, but the broader categories of spending of personnel, operations, and capital outlay. And there is narrative that explains the changes in the budget from the prior year to the current year that gives far more information than was given in the line item budget previously. And again, we have performance measures. Those are probably the hardest, to me, one of the hardest areas to work on in the document, and we are always trying to refine those and improve them. But that's the skinny of the document changes. Now, moving on to the homestead exemption. Got to put this back. Okay. First of all, I wanted to explain what the homestead exemption is for the general public. Just a statement first that we've increased our homestead estimate in anticipation of the salary increase in the Homestead Exemption Act that's going from $20,000 to $25,000. So that means more residents qualify for homestead exemption. And so therefore we have to reduce our property tax revenue accordingly to almost $40,000, a 35% increase over the previous year. And what a homestead exemption does, it allows a 50% break in property tax. If a resident is earning $25,000 in gross income of household, not individual, and you're 65 years of age or 100% disabled. Okay, the formula. What is the impact of the tax increase on the exemptions? And we have a tax increase of 3.23 cents, and looking at a $200,000 house, your tax bill will go from $1,307 to $1,372, a difference of $64.60. The individual or the household will pay half of that difference, $32.30. Yeah.
Does the same formula apply when they go to pay their county taxes and their school?
Yeah.
Their school district tax?
Yeah. I was just pulling out Carborough.
So, great. So, yeah. And there has been a recent increase from the state in the amount of the homestead exemption, right?
That's right, from $20,000 to $25,000.
That's what you're talking about.
Yeah.
What about people that make $30,000 or $26,000? There's nothing for them?
Not in the current year, but there is a proposed circuit breaker, which I think we will come back and talk to you because it doesn't come into effect until the fiscal year 2009-10 budget year.
I know everybody sitting on this board, we all hate to raise taxes, but we particularly hate to raise them for fixed-income elderly people. So I'm glad to see that there's at least some relief for some of the fixed-income elderly. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you for researching that thing. I appreciate that.
Okay.
This is just a question for staff. Do we have anything on our website that indicates how a person would apply for that?
No. I mean, it's because it's handled through Orange County,
yeah,
and they do all that.
Does the person have to? I had somebody approach me at Carborough Day about this, which is why I brought it up with you all the other day. does a person have to apply for it? So they have to know about it?
I think they have to apply for it.
They have to file some paperwork with the county tax collector.
Because I bet there are a fair number of people that just aren't in the loop enough to even know that that's something they can do. I think we should maybe come up with an effort and work with the county to get word out about that.
Yeah, I think when you get your property tax bill, I think it's on there somewhere, but of course, it's, you know, there's a lot of print on that property tax bill.
I know my mom wouldn't see it. Or you know.
You can talk to Orange County. I don't know what they do to let folks know, but I think you're right, Lydia. I think it is on the tax bill, but you'd have to be,
looking for it
probably to see it.
My experience is they're very proactive about collecting taxes.
and for us, that's a good thing because the tax collection percentage is very high in Orange County, and therefore it's very high for the town of Carrboro. In some jurisdictions, it's not quite so good, and so they have to raise taxes even more to generate the same amount of money that they would if they'd done a little better collection job.
People are paying up. Right.
If you are ready to move on, we've got Clayton Hearn, who is our fleet maintenance supervisor, and Clayton wanted to just share a few thoughts about the process that we went through in revising the vehicle and equipment replacement policy that, again, has allowed us an opportunity to save some dollars in next year's budget. Clayton.
The current policy that's in effect right now was visited in 2003. We went based on what other organizations, what the national fleet managers do, to see what we can do to change to make our vehicles last a little bit longer, get better utilization out of it. The most drastic changes came in the police side. Our current is 6 years, 85,000 for our patrol vehicles. We extended that to 8 years, left it at 85,000 based on the kind of the national average. The investigations, we bumped them to 8 years and 100,000. Both of those have changed. And administrative-wise, along with the fire department, our town hall vehicles that we have here that were previously at 8 years go to 10 years and 100,000. There again, to just prolong the life, get better utilization, more bang for the buck. The only other one was the mowers at Public Works. Mm-hmm. We're at 8 years. At 6 years. We pushed them to 8. There again, we look every year at each one of these line items to see what we can improve to make longer. We have a very young fleet. Our benchmarking study, if you look at everything, and one thing that they show in the fleet side is our fleet is a young fleet. Can be good, can be bad in certain situations. Are we getting the most out of it? I believe we are, but the areas that we looked at the most can improve to their further extend where we stand. So all in all, we haven't really drastically changed, but just trying to look at making things last longer, getting more money, or getting a better return for money.
So when you get to one of those whatever particular threshold that policy calls for, 8 years or whatever, is that from your point of view an automatic to replace the vehicle at that point? I'm not talking about police cars, but like a truck of public works or something like that. Or do you at some level look at the actual piece of equipment and say, yeah, it really is time or not, you know?
Yes, physically we do look at it to see, can it go longer if we're in a situation that we are like right now. There again, this is something that wasn't visited a lot before, but just kind of looking at things in a broader perspective. We're a small town. For instance, our patrol cars, we don't put a lot of miles on, but yet we put a lot of hours just from cruising around town. The fleet prior to this in 2003 for the police cars was what they call a hot seat. It was one officer got out, another officer got in, ran all the time. Now things have changed to the one-to-one. So our maintenance records have shown that better responsibility from the officers taking care of their vehicles to make them last longer. So with that, that's where a lot of that stuff comes out. There again, in our trucks, you start getting a truck. Most of our trucks are at the 12-year mark for our large trucks, and that's getting up there. Even though our miles are still low, there again, we can't go so far north and south, east and west here to create a lot of miles for them. So sitting can be just as bad on one as driving a whole lot. So it's kind of that trying to find that happy balance for a small town like we are compared to if you were in Raleigh, Greensboro, Charlotte, something like that, where they do travel and put tons and tons of miles on a vehicle in a year's time.
All right. Makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah, I mean, the policy does, again, give us the flexibility because none of these are hard and fast. We got to, you know, and the good thing is we also have better maintenance records. I guess we started using the Faster software a few years ago, and so now we have much better maintenance records than we've had before, so we can see if a particular vehicle or piece of equipment, you know, has been in 10 times for, you know, a transmission problem. And maybe we might want to get rid of that one before the 12-year mark or whatever because it's costing more than it's worth. Or we may see one where it's run for 10 years and we've had no significant issues with it, and we may be able to stretch it out another year.
I know there's got at least one pickup truck down there at Public Works that's got to be 20 years old. But anyway.
Those are being phased out. Old Chevrolets.
Yeah, Chevy S10. Yeah. All right. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
I need to revisit something, if I could, please.
Sure.
And this is mainly for people watching at home who may have, or press who may have questions. The $25,000 with the homestead exemption, is that, I know some elderly people, when they're paying their taxes, because they get to deduct medical expenses and all of those things, have significantly lower incomes than what it appears at first glance. So is that the adjustable taxable income or just everything that comes in? Do you know?
I was told that it was gross taxes, gross income rather, but I really think...
So gross taxable income or just gross
income? I think it's gross income, but yeah. but honestly, we can make sure that because we're not the experts because we don't administer the property tax.
A lot of the folks who watch our show may be eligible for this, and so I want to get it.
To
watch our show.
Some of them are over 65.
Yes.
Don't look at me like that, Mark.
So, if we could find that out.
I'm going to stick with that story. I was thinking about you, Steve. Yeah. all right. Mr. Manager.
That's really the two things that we wanted to highlight above and beyond my presentation. We realize that you all have just gotten the document, just gotten the presentation. We have built into the schedule a second work session for the board, if you so choose, on June 3rd, which would be after the public hearing, which is scheduled for May the 27th. So you'll have time to digest the document and think about things you want to talk about if there's not something in particular that you need from us tonight. But certainly if there's information we can give you tonight, if there are things that you have questions about that you want us to bring back, we're happy to do that.
Just one or two things I want to mention briefly. First of all, I'm really glad to see you including, I know the whole board is, the flushless urinals installation. I think that's just a fantastic technology and be money very well spent and very appropriate to do this year. But the other thing on the $4,000 allocation to Orange Community Housing and Land Trust. You spoke some about that. They had requested 8,000.
Yeah, they initially requested 4, and then after Robert met with his board, the request came back for an additional 4,000. And again, as I understand it, of course, Jackie's the liaison from the board, but was primarily for additional staff and salary increases.
All I wanted to get at about that is I think it'll be important to look at how that issue is being. I'm assuming they asked for something proportional, some proportionally similar amount from Chapel Hill and Orange County. So
if I may,
I just want to be aware of what the other two jurisdictions decide to do on this issue.
My understanding of the genesis of that is that they went into Chapel Hill with their budget request, and Mayor Foy said, "You're not paying yourselves enough." And they went back and looked at that. Is that right,
Well, it's more than Robert's salary, which has been inadequate for the work he does for quite some time. It's also the land trust has a flood of units that they're going to be asked to sell in the next year, and they simply do not have the staff to sell those units. And the land trust works on behalf of the three governing bodies. And so if we want them to be doing the job that we've assigned to them, we need to provide them with the resources to do it. And right now they simply do not have the people to sell this backlog or this growing...
Future backlog.
Future backlog of... Yeah, thank you, Joel. That's the word. This pending inventory of units. They just don't have the people to do it. So we want them to do the job that we've assigned to them. I'm going to advocate throughout the budget process that we provide the extra $4,000 so they can do the job.
Okay. Well, all of that information is helpful to me. I would like to know if we can get some indication from either staff or elected officials in the other jurisdictions about what they're planning on doing. Like what the county manager's budget, for example.
I don't know. I don't recall the exact number, but I do know that I think I know in the Chapel Hill budget, whatever the request was is what was in the proposed manager's budget.
The full amount of whatever
that's what I understand. For Orange County, I spoke with the county manager, and she didn't know yet what would be in her proposed budget because I think she's not making her presentation until towards the end of this month.
They do it a little later.
Yeah, they have to wait on schools to get that information before they do their budget, so they're a little behind the municipalities.
I see. It would be helpful to me to know what's proposed in Orange County if we can find that out. And then I just have one other brief thing, if I may keep y'all here for one more minute, which is if I can make my phone stop that. I'm wondering whether I know this is a very minor item, and I don't want to spend a lot of time either at this meeting or indeed ever on this ever again on this, but I would like for the staff to at least consider the possibility in the discussion of the motor vehicle fleet earlier. It brought to mind that I know some of our town staff members are quite good about walking to some of the destinations that they need to get to, or at least one of them actually skateboards around town sometimes. I know our police department has a group of bicycles that they use from time to time at special events. I wonder whether so much as one bicycle that might be available to town staff here at Town Hall, or maybe down less likely at Public Works to be relevant, but whether we might make something like that.
Well, we actually have a couple of bikes here at Town Hall, and I know particularly our planning staff
does use them.
Okay. Maybe others, but I know for sure planning staff does. And you know, I've sort of discouraged Marty from the skateboard because he's got a broken bone in his hand from that skateboard.
Get in the helmet. That's a valuable brain in there. All right. Okay. All right. Thank you. That's helpful. All right. Were there any other things for tonight that board members wanted to raise? All right. When is our second work session on this?
It would be June the 3rd.
June the 3rd.
The public hearing's May 27th.
Okay. So we will have a public hearing on the budget on May 27th,
right,
which is 2 weeks from tonight.
And then the next meeting would be, if the board chooses, the next meeting would be, part of that meeting would be the work session.
So I guess whether we're, exactly what we're doing, how we're going to schedule it will probably depend in part on what we hear at the public hearing.
Right.
I have an emergency meeting at a lake on June 17th. an emergency meeting at a lake on June 17th. And I won't be able to be here for that. So personally, I'd really like it if we could move it up a little bit. But it doesn't look like we're going to have that big of a... by the time we get there.
So. I guess we'll see what we hear at the public hearing, but it's conceivable that we might adopt this budget sooner than the June 17th.
You know, staff is happier sooner than
we
choose to do so. But.
Okay.
I'd just like to thank Bing for on the document changes. It's really clean. I really like the way it's set up.
Okay.
Move
Been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
We are adjourned.